You say you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
When I was a youngin, a real young child, we learned something very early that stuck with me for years. And many of you have heard it. They would say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I came to find out that that was a lie. Even as an adult, the words that a person says are powerful. Words can hurt you. Matter of fact, words can hurt or words can help. But then as I continued to grow, I used to hear people, even in church, say things like, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. How many have ever heard that before? That's an old song. And I came to find out that ain't Bible. We don't need to be climbing up no mountains as it pertains to how we describe our life. But again, little small sayings like this, you have to be careful, because the words that we use and the words that we receive are very important. The words that we use and the words that we receive are very important. We have to watch what we say, and we have to watch what we accept when other people say it. Notice, words, especially as the people of God, are very essential and significant. And we have to learn this while we're young. Words are very powerful. I want you to notice here, in James, look at James 1:19. I'm going to have it up here, but I want you to follow me and read along. James 1:19. James said, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be, help me, swift to hear, slow to speak. Let's stop right there. We need to be swift in what we hear and slow to speak. That backs up what I said earlier. The words we use and receive are very important. Very important. We don't need to nod our head in agreement with everything. And we don't need to say everything, even if it is a popular saying. We have to be careful, because the scripture teaches that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are very important. One way we know that we trust the Lord is based upon the words we select. Why, Pastor? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to what? Speak. If I truly trust the Lord, you're going to tell or be able to tell by how I'm talking. If somebody is truly real, you're going to tell by what comes out of their mouth. And eventually, not only what comes out of their mouth, by also the actions that they display. Are y'all with me? All right. Let's look at some things or some truths that are very important when it comes to words. There are hundreds of truths, but it's important for us to be spirit-led, right? And so I want to look at what the Lord wants me to deal with this morning concerning his will when it comes to truths about the word. Let's go to Job. If you're in Psalm, just turn to the right. Turn to the left. Let's go to Job 23. And notice verse 12. Again, we're looking at some truths about words. Y'all out there? Okay. Job 23 and 12. Look at what Job said. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So when it comes to words, we need to treasure the words that come from God's mouth. We need to treasure the messages that come from God's mouth. We need to treasure them. We need to deem them as valuable. One prophet said, we do not need to reject truth or the words that come from God's mouth. As a young person, we need to learn from what Job said here in this verse. He said, the words that come from God's mouth are more valuable to me than necessary food. How many know we need food? Yeah, we need food. If we don't have food, we're gonna die. We're not going to have nourishment. And I believe it was picked up, and Jesus taught it, because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to cherish or treasure the words that come from God's mouth. God's mouthpiece here on earth are his prophets. Treasure those words more so than what you get on the news, social media. God's words should carry more weight than man's words. Even though man can give you facts or dress it up, we should still remember heaven and earth shall pass, but not God's word. It will not pass. Okay? So treasure God's words. If God said it, it needs to carry more weight than anything or anybody. Are you with me? Why, Pastor? Because the word is God. And see, we need to consider this when it comes to the situations that we're in, the reports that we receive, what's going on in our health, finances, family, or what have you. Treasure God's word more so than what you can see or sense. All right? Let's go to Proverbs. Now, this one right here is eye-opening. Proverbs 12 and 6. Actually, these next two verses, they really spoke to me. Proverbs 12 and 6. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright, look at this, will deliver them. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. Our words have delivering power. We can speak deliverance to our situations and our circumstances, especially if you upright, if you are living by faith. We can call those things that be not as though they were. You know, the world try to say, look, you got to speak it into existence. But understand, that came from God. And when you are upright, you and I should be accustomed to speaking things, even though they naturally do not look like what we are calling them to be. Why? The mouth of the upright has deliverance. You can be sick in your body, but speak your healing into existence. You can be lacking, but speak prosperity into existence. The psalm writer was going through something, but he spoke, Lord, send prosperity now. We have to learn that in our mouth is deliverance. David was going through a tough time in his life, but the Bible said he encouraged himself. You and I have to use our mouth the right way. I don't know what you're dealing with, what you're expecting, but you better start, if you're not already doing it, speaking life. Speak life to your situation. This is going to work out for my good. I'm a tither. God going to open up windows of heaven, pour me out blessing. I have not room enough to receive. I'm not going to be ill the rest of my life. I am not going to believe the negative report. I believe God's report. We have deliverance in our mouth. And understand, sometimes you're going to feel some type of way because you're going to be like, what I'm saying don't match with what I'm seeing. It's not supposed to. The just live by faith. What we see is temporary, but the word can cause it to change. I said the word can cause what we see to change. So we have to learn, in my mouth is deliverance. In my mouth, I can speak salvation. In my mouth, I can speak. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to get better at doing that. Deliverance is in my mouth. Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 36. Thought y'all were going to be happy on that one. So what's the first truth we learned about words? We need to treasure the words that come from the mouth of God. Okay? The second truth we learned about words. Our words can deliver us. Now look at Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Powerful text. This one right here shook me a little bit. Had to meditate on this one. Notice, if you will, verse number 3. The words of his mouth, and the psalmist is talking about someone who is wicked. He's talking about a sinner. So the words of a wicked person are, look at this, wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Understand something, as a young woman, as a young man, everything we hear is not good. There are some people, they purposely use words that are wicked and deceitful. Everything that you see and hear on TV is not good. Some of these corporations use words that are wicked and deceitful. You ever notice that there is seemingly propaganda? Every time there's some type of ailment, they always say it's worse amongst black people. High blood pressure, you know, it's worse amongst African Americans. Breast cancer is worse amongst African Americans. COVID wasn't even out for a month. You know, it's worse amongst. That's wicked and deceitful. Words are powerful. And we have to be discerning, young folk. Even though some people's words are, as the Bible says, smooth as honey, we have to be able to discern that's wicked what they're saying. It sound good, but it's wicked. It sound truthful, but it is deceitful. It's a lie. And as a young person, you have to develop your hearing to the point to where you can discern, I hear what they're saying, but that ain't true. They telling me it's a good deal, but if I just stop, think, and pray, that ain't no good deal. Ain't no way signing something for no 30%. That ain't no good deal. That's wicked and deceitful. Can I break it down a little bit more? Even when it comes to music, it may sound good, but you have to have such an ear to where you say, what they saying sound good. But that's, help me, wicked and deceitful. Look at this. The hottest album out right now is, or one of the hottest albums out right now is Certified Lover Boy by Drake. Okay? When it came out, it was number one for a short time. But it's still a top five album right now. Y'all ever heard of Drake? Let me take my glasses off. Y'all ever heard of Drake? Okay, because y'all like, who is Drake? Y'all know who Drake is, right? Okay. He got this song on his new CD, new album called In the Bible. He got actually a song on his CD called In the Bible. So when the Lord showed me this song that he had, I said, okay, let me look and see what Drake talking about when it come to this song right here. Now, he got a rapper named Lil Durk that's on this song with him. Yeah, Lil Durk. So let's look at this verse on In the Bible. Okay, and again, remember, we're talking about words, right? And how words, especially when it comes from someone who's practicing sin, they're going to be two things. What? Wicked and deceitful. Y'all slow to the draw. They're going to be wicked and deceitful. So let's look at In the Bible. Okay. Lil Durk's verse. Okay. Y'all ready? He say, okay. Trenches, then the B word. I got her a salon. Gucci and Poochie. It's deep in her budget. She hitting up Virgil for Louis Vuitton. It's not in the Bible to wife off one girl. I'm Muslim. I go by Quran. Oh, Lord. Y'all need to learn how to look up lyrics and see what these folks saying over these beats. It's not in the Bible to wife one girl. He said, I go by the Quran because, you know, they believe you can have many, many wives. I'm Muslim. Well, let's see if what you said is in the Bible. That's what you have to do. Because you can be dancing to something that sounds good, but it's demonic. It's wicked and deceitful. Ephesians 5:31. Let's go on and see what's in the Bible. It's in the book. That's right. It's in the book. For this reason, a man shall leave his, help me, father and mother and be joined to his wives. No, to his wife. And the two shall become. So is what he said in the Bible? No. What he said was, help me, wicked and deceitful. But it sound real, real good. Sound popular, but it's wicked. It's a lie. It's a lie. So imagine a young person that's not discerning, just constantly repeating these verses. I'm Muslim. I'm Quran. I'm already, they planting the seed to reject Christ. Already. Well, on the same CD by Drake, he got another song called Girls Want Girls. That's what he got a song on this top-selling album. He got a song called Girls Want Girls. Well, let's look and see what he's talking about. Y'all with me? Okay. Staring at, I ain't got auto-tune, so staring at your dress because it's see-through. Yeah, talking all that stuff that you done been through. Hey, say that you a lesbian girl to me too. What? Hey, girls want girls where I'm from. Wait, whoa, yay, girls want girls. Whoa, yay, girls want girls where I'm from. Come on, help. Oh, wait. Nah, y'all chill. Girls want girls where I'm from. So imagine if you don't know the power of words and you constantly saying, girls want girls. Matter of fact, he called himself a girl. Me too. Well, what the Bible say? Let's go to the Bible, Drake. It's the same one who made a song called God's Plan. Let's go to the Bible and look at Romans 1:26. Y'all still with me? Now, Paul was writing about folk that wanted people of the same sex. Yeah, you read verses 24 through about 27. We pick it up in 26. He says, for this reason, God gave them up, look at this, to vile passions. For even their women exchanged, help me out, the natural use for what is against nature. See, the natural use of a woman's body is to find pleasure from a man. That's the natural use. 27, likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, leaving a woman alone, Jake, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, look at this, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So he telling folk, look, where I'm from, this is okay. Girls want girls. This is okay. Now, it's your choice, but according to this verse, God will turn you over and say, look, if that's what you want, go ahead and satisfy your vile passion. It's unnatural, but if that's what you want, I'll loose you to do it. But understand, it's going to be a penalty. That's what the verse say. For your error. But according to the verse, he makes it seem like it's not going to be nothing wrong with it. Where I'm from, girls won't. That's your choice. Now, if that's what a person want, male or female, then God will just turn you over, according to these verses, to your vile passion. It's unnatural. It's not natural. Though it's popular, it's not natural. In fact, Paul said, in truth, he said, it's shameful. Woo! But it's popular, right? And see, that's not hate. That's just truth. And the truth, if we receive it, will make us free. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Words are, help me, powerful. So what did we learn thus far about words? We should treasure the words that come from God's mouth. What's revealed through God's prophets. Our mouth can cause deliverance. And thirdly, some words are wicked and deceitful. How many got a good understanding? By show of hands. Even if you don't agree with it, you understand it. Yeah, bottom line. Now, the psalmist in our verse, in Psalm, what was it, 14 or 19? He was mindful of the words that he used so much that he wanted his words to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And that's how we should be. We should want our words to be acceptable. Acceptable has a number of meanings, but two this morning. Lord, I need my words and I want my words to be pleasing and in agreement. I want my words to be pleasing and I want the words that I use to be in agreement. Pleasing. Our words need to be according to the word of God or faith. Because without faith, young people, it's impossible to please God. So you have to ask yourself, right now, if you already listened to Drake's Certified Lover Boy, is that pleasing to God? Just them two songs we looked at. Do they line up with the word? You singing it in your car or with your headphones on, are those words pleasing? I have to do that even with so-called gospel music. I'll be listening to gospel, some gospel artists. I'll be like, that ain't Bible. I can't sing that right there. Or I may sing the song and then make it my version when they get to a certain line that I know is not of faith. Words are just that powerful, young folk. That powerful. So much so, I believe it was Peter that said, do not even let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. He wasn't talking about cuss words. It's just the words that we use need to be pleasing to the Lord. And of course, that does mean curse words because that ain't pleasing. We don't need to talk like that, right? Not as a Christian. Secondly, in agreement. How can two walk together except they agree? I need to be talking like the word, talking like my pastor, talking like the elders, talking like ministers. We need to all be on the same page. See, when you get up to pray, receive an offering, MC, lead a song, your words are important. And as pastor, I'm listening to see if we are in agreement. We need to be in agreement. When the minister get up to pray, the prayer should be pleasing. It should be according to God's word and the season that God has revealed that we're in. When you get up to lead a song, what you say, your words are important. And somebody always is in that audience. Not just the pastor listening to make sure that we are on agreement. I love when I'm in service with many other saints from Refuge and somebody that's up on the altar or on the podium says something that ain't right. And then the preacher or the person try to get the people to say amen. They be like, say amen. But folk in the audience be like, mm-mm. That's how it need to be. I'm not going to agree with you if it's not right, if it's not Bible. Because amen means it's right, so be it. Let it be done. And I'm not amen in nothing if them words aren't acceptable. And you need to be the same way. Even when you get engaged, you get married, it's just certain words you should not use. You know, me and my wife, we joke, but it's just some stuff we don't use them words. We don't use, I'm leaving you. No, hold up. You know, I hate you. We ain't gonna even put them words in the atmosphere. Why? Words are very important. Are y'all with me? Okay. So let's look at what we need to do. How many are going to choose to be more careful of the words you use? How many are getting the portrait you see in the picture? Got to be better when it comes to the words we use. So I want to show you, if that be you, if you're going to choose to use your words and make sure they're more acceptable, we got to do these things right here as I get ready to close. Okay? Let's start in Proverbs. It's going to be a little touchy. But It's going to help us, okay? Let's go to Proverbs 13. All right. While you're turning to Proverbs or scrolling to Proverbs, how many in here, let's just get this out of the way, how many in here have a tendency or a habit to be quick to say stuff that you know you have no business saying? By a show of hands. How many have been are guilty of, man, I shouldn't have said that? You say stuff real quick sometime, and then when you go back and process it or think about it, you'd be like, man, I messed up. Let me see them hands. I see a couple over here. Let me put mine. I've been guilty. Okay. So this is going to help all of us then. Because you can mess yourself up with your own words. The Bible talks about how we are snared by our own words from our mouth. We mess our own self up. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 13. And notice verse number, Lord, what I said, Proverbs? I'm in Psalm, and I'm like, that ain't the verse. Let me go to the right book. Proverbs 13. There we go. Y'all ready? Verse 3. He or she who guards his mouth preserves his or her life. But he or she who opens wide his or her lips, look at this, shall have destruction. So what do we need to take from this verse? We need to guard our mouth. I got to guard my mouth. Basically, he's saying life and destruction is in my mouth. If I am more conscious of how I talk and the words I use, I'm going to preserve my life. But if I keep saying stuff that I shouldn't say, I'm going to have destruction. So you got to start guarding your mouth. Say that with me. Say, I got to start guarding my mouth. That's it. Now, this is for everybody, but especially females. I ain't trying to be sexist, but especially women. Especially women. Because some women like to give you a piece. See, only one person helping me this morning. Where you at, sisters? You in here? How many sisters in here? You one of them last word sisters. Who know what a last word sister is? You gotta get that last word. Gotta watch yourself. It was so hard in Paul's day. This is what Paul told Timothy. He said, let the women in your church just learn in silence. He said, don't let them talk until they get home. He said, let them talk to their own husband. He said, because some women in that church, they like to talk. The brothers do it too, but again, you see it prevalent. I can't even get no help from the sisters this morning. Y'all still love me, right? Y'all remember the presentation a minute ago? Y'all were clapping and all of that. Y'all, I need y'all to feel me this morning. Y'all still with me? Look at somebody say, you got to guard your mouth. Matter of fact, make a person say, I got to guard my mouth. Don't look at your sister. Don't look at your brother. Look at yourself. Matter of fact, take your phone out and do a selfie. Say, guard your mouth. To guard your mouth means to be, in one sense, a watchman. I gotta be careful about what I say. About others and about my about myself. I mean, you cute. Matter of fact, 8 out of 10 folks say you cute. 8 out of 10. Because you know it's always going to be somebody. Yeah, so 8 out of 10, they say you cute. But for yourself, you just like to dog yourself out. You can't do that. You got to guard your mouth now. Got to guard your mouth. Quit saying negative stuff about yourself. I heard some advice from a young lady last week that was such good advice. I thought about it myself. I said, that's some good advice. This came from a young woman. And I was listening to her talk to another sister. And she was telling the sister how she could just encourage herself. And she basically said this verse right here. Girl, you got to speak. You got to know you got it going on. You got to speak positively about yourself, even when nobody else does. Let me tell you how she broke it down. I was getting happy. She said, look, it starts with your own perception of yourself. She said, you got to go in there and get you some lotion that smell good. Rub the lotion on yourself. Just put it on your hands, and it's going to give off a scent. And people are going to say, you smell good. And when they compliment you, receive them words. Receive them words and say, you right. You got to feel good about yourself. I said, boy, this girl preaching. I want you to throw my dog. Preach that. That's some good advice. The words that come from your own mouth are very, very important. But then the words that come from other folk, you don't have to receive everything. We used to say stuff like, I forget how it go, but it was something like bounce off me and stay on you. You know, when people say stuff, if you don't agree with it, don't just let it settle on you. Guard your mouth. No, I'm not receiving that. I'm not receiving that. That's your opinion. I'm not receiving that. Whether it come from a doctor, somebody you go to school with, a classmate, just remember what Pastor Baker said. Just say, I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to speak that, and I'm not going to agree. I'm guarding my mouth. Some stuff, when folk be petty, you don't even talk about it with your friend. You know what she said? Don't even talk about it. Don't even keep speaking that stuff. Don't give it no more life. Guard your mouth. Watch the words that you speak. From now on. Remember, James, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Because we can mess up our own self. Who is this helping this morning? All right, guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Learn to take the teeth on the back and just bite them and just stay right there until you can figure out what needs to be said. Just guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Or just sometimes just do like I learned from Bishop. Old folk used to say, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Especially if you're still working on your temper. You got a temper that need working on? You notice I ain't say you got a bad temper. You just still working on your temper. Where my temper folk at? Where my temper folk? Who gonna be honest this morning? Where my temper folk at? I don't even see no hands. Boy, Lord, redeem us. Redeem us. I know you in here. We got the preacher. Okay. We got good sister over there. And we got one over here. So these three folk, the rest of us. Oh, okay. She said, okay, I'm back here. That temple. You sure enough got to watch your mouth when you have a working on your temple. James said that tongue is just like it can set fire. You can literally make somebody want to fight you, jump on you, based upon the words you use. You got to be careful. Folk crazy nowadays. I just keep it moving. Guard your mouth. All right? Let's go to Psalm 37. And what does guard mean? To be a watchman. Just stand guard. Okay, Lord, how do I need to phrase this? Psalm 37. In verse number 30. And if you do mess up, get it right. Yeah, if you do slip, get it right. Don't ever be big or too prideful to apologize. Right? Verse 30. Oh, Lord, Psalm 37 and 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. His or her tongue talks justice. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. So I have to train my mouth, young folk, to speak based upon knowledge and understanding. I have to train my mouth to speak based upon what has been revealed to me from God's shepherd. Because from the mouth of the Lord comes wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So you and I, we need to train ourselves to speak based upon what we heard taught at church. And see, when you can do that, Paul said you mature. Mature folks speak the same thing. They imitate their shepherd as the shepherd imitates Christ. So if you leave here and you still are not a watchman of your words, you immature. Bottom line. Well, I heard what you said about the music and you broke Drake down, but that's my jam. Well, you childish. Bottom line. But when you start maturing, then you'll do this right here. All right, I'm just going to watch what I say. I'm going to speak based upon knowledge and understanding. They talking bigger and better. It's been broke down that it's Bible in the Word. That's how I'm talking, bigger and better. I'm not going to be saying it is what it is. No, it's bigger and better. And it take maturity to do that, young folk. Take maturity to do that. And you can be young and mature spiritually. Look at them Hebrew boys. Look at Daniel. They were young, but spiritually they were mature. They didn't talk like a childish person. And see, as a young woman and as a young man, you start speaking based upon knowledge and understanding, or the written and the revealed word of God. Okay? So, for instance, we've been getting messages like, let God make you. Let God guide you. Let your words be acceptable, and so forth. You start speaking based upon truths that you learned from those messages. If you're in counseling with pastor, and pastor is giving you truths to apply to your life, you start speaking based upon what he's counseling you to do. Y'all with me? That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And when you're doing that, your words are becoming acceptable in the sight of the Lord. I'm speaking based upon knowledge and understanding. I'm speaking based upon knowledge and understanding. Help me out. I'm speaking based upon knowledge and understanding. But when you go back to school, most folk ain't going to be doing that. So you got to stay in the will of God. Some of your classmates and study partners, they speak another way, but you stay in the will. You stay in the will of God. Is this helping? All right. Look at Proverbs 8. This goes along with speaking wisdom from your mouth. Proverbs 8 and 7. Y'all like good old teaching? All right. Am I taking my time? Okay. Y'all getting it? All right. Proverbs 8 and 7. Same point. For my mouth will speak truth. Look at that. My mouth will speak. See, it's discipline, young folk. My mouth will speak truth. Proverbs 8 and 7. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I'm not going to speak contrary to truth. I'm not going to speak contrary to truth. Wickedness is abomination. If you hang around somebody and all they talk is corona, 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 you better be careful. And that's all that's in their mouth? That's all they talking is sickness? No. Can't hang around you. That's an abomination to my mouth. And even if I do speak about sickness, it's going to be some healing attached. Because my God is a healer, the Bible says, of all diseases. Because some folk, that's all they talk. Corona, 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 coronavirus. That's all they talk. Death, death, death. Sickness, sickness, sickness. No, don't get caught up. And how many know it's easy to get caught up? When our words, young people, are acceptable to the Lord, the psalmist closes out the verse and says the Lord will do two divine things. He will strengthen and redeem. He says, oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, God strengthens us when our words are acceptable. God restores or turns things around when our words are acceptable. And many of you, when you start practicing this, or some of you continue to practice this, God is going to strengthen you and turn things around in your life. Because words are that powerful. They are just that powerful. Your words can bring your day down, or your words can empower you. Especially when your words are attached to God. He's going to strengthen. He's going to redeem. And I've had to do that sometimes. I've been weak throughout the week, and I just had to get somewhere and meditate and start speaking. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. Romans 8, 28. It's going to work. It's going to work out for my good. I had to put them words in the air, and then God starts to strengthen me. Let the weak say that they are strong. It starts with the words, young folk. I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass this class. I am going to pass. Yes, Lord, I've been struggling, but I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass this class. Lord, you're going to meet the need. I don't know how. I can't see it, but I'm a tither. I'm a giver. You're going to supply my need. You're going to supply my need. And you'll start feeling yourself getting stronger. You be done convinced yourself, you are going to meet my need. Yeah, you start getting happy. Why? Words are that powerful. But sit around and start saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. You'll get stressed, depressed, and start feeling hopeless. But your words, especially again when they're attached to God, will strengthen you. Lord, you're going to send me some business. You're going to send me some business, Lord. Business been slow, but you're going to turn this around. Next thing you know, you get a phone call. Lord, have mercy. Thank you. Now, they didn't give you the type of business you wanted, but how many know it often starts small? It starts small. It may be just like little rain droplets, but that's just your sign that the rain, the storm is coming. Words that are attached to God, young folk, have power. That's why we have to be conscious of the music we sing, rap, and what we agree with. You don't receive everything. You don't receive everything. Even if you get injured, whether it be playing sports in a car accident and you have to go to the doctor, and the doctor say, well, look, you're going to have to do this, and it's going to be 8 to 12 weeks. You don't sit there and be like, okay. No, how you know God don't want to do it in 2 weeks? You just say, well, I appreciate everything you've done for me. God may give you a turnaround in 3 to 6 weeks. Words are powerful, young folk. And when they line up with God, he's going to strengthen and redeem. Who in here is God trying to get and persuade? You got to watch how you.